Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The secret's oat for nourishing your sensitive skin. Start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash in the shower, which gently cleanses and doesn't dry out your skin. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.
Good morning to you. It's a Thursday. Oh, it's so close. It's so close to a Friday. And this weekend is Masters weekend. In fact, the Masters tees off in mere hours. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not fans return in droves for this tournament. And I don't mean fans in person, because the Masters limits the number of people who can show up there on the grounds. They're trying to maintain a certain decorum and supply and demand and all that jazz. But Augusta National can't change the interest of people around the world who generally make this appointment TV. And we heard from Rory McIlroy not that long ago his concern, because people are not watching golf on TV right now. The ratings are down 20%. But he did make the note, hey, that probably doesn't mean the Masters. He was talking about the majors. Do people return? Will they watch the majors the way they have in the past? Or have we fractured golf too much and fans are tuned off? Fans are turned off and have tuned out because of this whole PGA Live mess. I tend to think it's a combination of factors. No Tiger Woods on a regular basis. Phil Mickelson is playing live golf. Some of the interesting, intriguing personalities, even polarizing personalities like Bryson DeChambeau or Brooks Koepka, they're playing live golf. John Rahm, who's fairly demonstrative and charismatic, he's playing live golf. The Open champ from a year ago, he's playing live golf. I mean, you've got major champions, Masters champions, who aren't on the PGA Tour on a regular basis. Now, that's maybe one factor. I also think that when the number one player in the world isn't recognizable if he walks down the street, that's part of it too. We're not talking about a Shohei Ohtani, who's a household name or who you recognize just by picture. I mean, Caitlin Clark is more famous right now than is Scottie Scheffler. I could probably name another 15 golfers who are more recognizable than the number one player in the world. And so that's an issue as well. Some of your best have departed. You're not seeing them on a regular basis. And then you've got a world number one. And great, he's awesome at golf. He is steady Eddie. And I'm not going to tell you he's boring. I don't know him personally. I just know that he's not a household name. And that can sometimes hurt golf when you don't have a personality who's at the top. Now, golf was already floundering a bit in the wake of Tiger Woods. We know that. So maybe the Masters gets a boost because Tiger's golfing. And because if he makes the cut, he'll set a new record, 24 consecutive cuts made. He still believes he can win a sixth green jacket. Anywhere he's around, there's a buzz, even though he's not quite the same guy. And you do have a lot of these LIV golfers who are participating, right? Brooks Koepka is the defending, well, no, John Rahm's the defending champion, but Brooks Koepka always golfs well there. And so there's a bunch of different factors. We'll talk to Matt Adams from the Golf Channel and Fairways of Life coming up in 30 minutes, and we'll pick his brain about it. But it's a real problem. I would say it's a crisis for the PGA. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that no one really understands what's happening with this money and that money and the LIV merger. It's been nearly 11 months since that bombshell LIV merger announcement was made. Still nothing has changed. And still there's talk about what does it mean. I feel like golf's getting bogged down in it. And maybe it's not a storyline when you're at Augusta National, except golfers are still talking about it too when they're asked. I don't think it will affect the Masters because the Masters is so popular and a lot of the politics and the minutiae, it falls by the wayside on Sunday at the Masters. Still, the questions were posed to the chairman of Augusta National about having LIV players be able to compete in the Masters regardless. Because right now you've got, you know, half of the best golfers on LIV who are not at Augusta National. And Freddie Ridley kind of points out that, hey, we don't really operate by the same formula as most other tournaments, and so we're not really sure how to handle it.
Our goal is to have, to the greatest extent possible, the best field in golf, the best players of the world. Having said that, we never have had all the best players in the world because of the structure of our tournament. It's an invitational, it's a limited field, it's a small field. We've always honored our past champions, many of whom, some of whom I should say, would not necessarily be in an open competition, but they add a lot to this tournament. They're part of our history. I think it will be difficult to establish any type of point system that had any connection to the rest of the world of golf because they're basically, not totally, but for the most part, a closed shop. There is some relegation, but not very much. It all really depends on what new player they sign. And so, and those concerns were expressed by the OWGR. But I don't think, and again, I'm repeating myself a little bit, but I don't think that prevents us from giving subjective consideration, you know, based on talent, based on performance, to those players.
So he points out that LIV is a closed shop. I thought that was interesting. And part of that is because the PGA won't allow points for LIV tournaments and won't allow these golfers to accrue points if in the PGA world rankings, he mentions the world golf rankings, the LIV PGA divide is such that the PGA has said, hell no. Even though we're supposed to be merging, that's really secondary to this whole thing. So if the chairman of Augusta National doesn't know, and they're kind of going through it the same as most others are, where, you know, they're taking it on a case-by-case basis, and we can issue invitationals, we want the best players to be here, but it's not an automatic, and it's not about points, and right. So the whole thing is just freaking confusing.
It's a complete crap.
And at the same time, you're missing some of the best golfers in the world. So again, may not affect Augusta National because it's a separate entity, and because it's more about the traditions than it is about the actual golfers. Honestly, I think Augusta National is the star this week. As much as people will root for whoever wins, it's really about the traditions. It's really about the course. It's about the azaleas. It's about Amen Corner. It's about the call from Jim Nance on CBS. Hello, friends. It's about the music. Not much that the PGA and LIV can do to ruin it. But that doesn't apply to the rest of golf. So we'll talk to Matt Adams about 30 minutes from now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, I've posted at least a little bit, a snippet of the latest news about Shohei Ohtani. His former interpreter is now facing those federal theft charges after he was accused by Shohei and Shohei's camp of stealing at least $4.5 million, according to some of the investigations now. The money could actually be more. The total could be a lot higher. But the federal investigation has moved forward. Now there are actual charges against Ipe Mitsuhara. And get this. According to the New York Times, Mitsuhara is pleading guilty. He plans to plead guilty to these federal charges against him. Also according to the New York Times, the federal investigation is expected to wrap up very quickly. Well, isn't that convenient? I know that's what some of you are saying. I don't know what to believe anymore. I really don't. It's clear that the Dodgers believe Shohei Ohtani. Baseball wants to believe Shohei Ohtani, that he was robbed. Not quite blind, but pretty damn close. It's in baseball's best interest that Shohei had nothing to do with it. I get that. And what I told you a couple weeks ago still rings true. If there was a smoking gun in this federal investigation that connected Ohtani to knowledge of the gambling or connected Ohtani to bets or connected Ohtani to these wire transfers in any other way except theft, they would have it. The federal government has, well, whoever's investigating, IRS, FBI, they have no stake in protecting Ohtani. In fact, I'm pretty confident that if the FBI were able to establish a connection between the world's most famous athlete and an illegal gambling ring that they busted, they would do it. That's one of those proverbial feathers in your cap. As a law enforcement agency, as a federal agency, if you can somehow hook this really big fish, it makes you look that much more competent. I actually think it incites trust. Anyway, when it comes to baseball, it's in their best interest that it goes away. They don't want Ohtani to have this cloud over his head. So a few things, questions that we've asked over and over that really don't have any answers. And there are still some of those. But I know many of us have wondered, how did Ipe Mitsuhara have access to Ohtani's bank account and have the ability to move all this money without Ohtani noticing? Now, rich people, rich athletes, entertainers, celebrities, and I just know this from having worked in this world, a lot of times they're focused on what they do best, playing baseball, playing football, playing hockey. They're focused on performing. They're focused on preparing. We don't live in that world, most of us, so we can't possibly understand it, nor do most of us have millions and millions and millions of dollars coming in from various revenue streams. Not saying all of us, but most of us. The average American is a more of a paycheck to paycheck thing. So it's really hard for us to comprehend this. But many of these athletes have gotten robbed before by accountants, by people close to them. I've never heard of the interpreter route, but it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Again, it's hard to believe because we can't really relate. But according to the New York Times, Ipe changed the settings on Ohtani's bank account, which would mean he'd have access to it, right? He'd have access to it in terms of passwords and apps or the computer, whatever it is. He'd have to know how to get into Ohtani's bank account. But he changed the settings, according to the New York Times, so that Ohtani was no longer receiving alerts or any confirmation about transactions that were made. Of course, that's possible. Here's the thing I wonder, though, is didn't the bank require that Ohtani authorize it? Didn't the bank require that Ohtani's financial advisors authorize it? Right? You would think that if Mitsuhara, even if he was posing as Ohtani, made this type of a change online, that the bank would see it. I mean, when I change information, for instance, my name, when I change information, the bank sometimes requires an authorized signature. So I still have questions about the bank, the financial institution. We had a banker call us earlier and say that a lot of times when it comes to accounts of this magnitude or rich people, there's privacy issues there too. And the banks will often, you know, set up boundaries, but they expect that the financial team will flag it. So I still say there, if the very least incompetence, if not gross negligence in protecting Ohtani and allowing this to happen, but there's the question whether or not those settings were changed by Mitsuhara to prevent Ohtani from seeing any alerts or transactions, whether or not that was the only thing he had to do. I don't know. He seems like one really intelligent guy, though. To pull this off all by himself, that's pretty crazy. Again, not the first athlete to get robbed by someone close to him. I mean, there are stories. All you got to do is Google it. There are stories of athletes who are completely bankrupt because all the money just disappeared. And sometimes it's a relative, a family member, an agent that they trusted. In this particular case, sounds like Ipe Mitsuhara is ready to pay for what he's done or take the fall, depending upon your perspective. Yeah, the New York Times first to report that he plans to plead guilty and the investigation should be wrapped up pretty quickly. It's convenient, huh? Wow. Nice, neat little bow. Tied up in Dodger blue.
Don't worry about that anymore.
Yeah. Well, phew. Glad that's over with. Also,
nothing to see here.
Yeah, just let's get distracted by some other scandal, shall we? But I said it earlier, this Toronto Raptor player who's now being investigated by the NBA and I don't know who else with some betting irregularities, meaning some prop bets that paid big time money on him specifically. He's being investigated. And how come nobody's talking about it? It's crazy, right? I mean, the news cycle spins so furiously. This is a big story with Shohei Ohtani, but hasn't there been far less chatter about it in the last 2 weeks? I mean, you react to Ohtani's press conference, and then when there's no new news, people move on. But now here it is again, and in just a couple of weeks. Wow, it's amazing. He plans to plead guilty. He's trying to work out a guilty plea right now, and the investigation is moving toward a conclusion. And apparently Ipe was smart enough to change the alerts and the settings on Ohtani's bank account, so he didn't know. And maybe nobody else did either. It's just, yeah, you would think the bank would care about that. I don't know. I still have a hard time with it, but I've had to accept that we may never know the truth. Not until someone writes a tell-all book in 25 years. I don't know. Maybe Pete Rose is interested in writing another book telling the truth.
What if Ipe wrote the book? Would you believe it? Like years from now.
If he's giving me the same old song and dance with no new information, probably not. If there were still major questions that had to be answered, probably not. If there were some intel or information from Ipe that would explain why he did two different versions of an interview with ESPN, why initially Shohei's camp was the one that said, go do an interview, why he decided that he could get away with this and seemingly set it up so that nobody else could figure it out. I mean, that's quite a gamble. Unless he really had the wool pulled over everyone's eyes. Unless he had power of attorney, he was friggin' guardian for Shohei Ohtani.
It's just the part I can't get over is what you just mentioned before, how it all started with Shohei's camp was on board with him giving this interview to ESPN, saying what he said initially, that Shohei was covering my butt, I messed up, got involved in the wrong thing, and they knew that he was going to do that and were okay with it.
Yeah,
and
they then sent him to tell his story.
Changed everything. So I just, what happened there, I think, is the huge, is the detail of this whole thing.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a real big question, and that we do not have an answer to. So put a couple of details up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you want to react. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Man, it's been quite a night. We got sidetracked and hijacked by Ohtani yet again. But in baseball, like actual baseball, the debut of the number one prospect in the majors happened at Fenway Park, but he plays for the Orioles. And also, really cool family affair for the Cleveland Guardians on what was National Siblings Day. Stop it. It's out.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Well, here comes Jackson Holliday. The young man at 20 years of age and 128 days. A left-handed batter in the batter's box for the first time, making his Major League debut. And the pitch is way inside to Holliday. 1-0 in a scoreless game. Swing and a miss. Holliday down on strikes. Go to second base, and Couser gets the bag. So Holliday strikes out in his first Major League at-bat, and Couser steals second, but they're two away.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Orioles Radio Network, a big league debut for a guy we've all been waiting to see. Jackson Holliday, who actually was sporting number 7, the number his father Matt played or used when he played in the big league. So the Orioles' number one prospect makes his debut at Fenway Park. And I watched his first at bat. It was actually on MLB Network, so it was kind of cool. His first at bat was a strikeout swinging, though there was a stolen base by the Orioles. He also was part of a double play, I think before that, got turned before that. Just neat to see him out there and the reaction, even though they're at Fenway Park. A lot of people have waited to see Jackson Holliday at 20 years old making his big league debut. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Later, the Orioles got to go ahead 3-run home run from Jordan Westberg, and certainly it would have been nice, a storybook, if this was Jackson Holliday who had it, but he actually went hitless in his first game.
Obviously, I would have liked to gotten a few hits, but I mean, the overall experience was pretty incredible tonight to be able to go out there and win and have an RBI. I mean, it's pretty awesome just to be here.
And to do it at the hallowed grounds of Fenway Park.
It's really neat, the history of this ballpark. Got to come here as a little kid and watch my dad play, and to be able to be out there and competing, it's very special.
No doubt. And the fans there in Boston will see a lot of him if he remains in the majors, which he should. But it's AL East baseball. Now, granted, Camden Yards is just as iconic for a lot of different reasons, but Fenway Park has been around for a lot longer. So he has the swinging strikeout or the K, and then he goes 0-for-4 with an RBI ground out. So also gets his first ever big league RBI in a win for Baltimore. And it was funny because he was asked about whether or not he was nervous, and before the game, he said, "Nervous? I mean, a little bit, not too bad. I'm not as nervous as I thought I would be." But then after the game, said something different.
I wasn't very nervous. Obviously, my results weren't what I liked, but I wasn't nervous. I felt comfortable on defense, and I felt comfortable at the plate. Felt like I took some good swings and just wasn't able to capitalize on some.
Not everybody is into numerology, but it is significant that he's wearing 7 for the Orioles, right? Because it was his father's number, but his father didn't play in Baltimore. The last time a member of the Orioles wore number 7, it was Cal Ripken, right? And so that's a big deal. And yet the Ripken family, who, you know, are not just baseball royalty, but certainly legendary in Baltimore, they went ahead and gave their blessing. They kind of bestowed the privilege of wearing that number 7 to Jackson Holliday. So pretty cool. We'll see what happens moving forward. But a lot of excitement. And his dad was there, which was neat as well. Saw a couple of flashes of him and the family with big smiles on their faces as Jackson made his debut. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So that's one family affair taking place in Boston. How about in Cleveland on National Siblings Day? Are you kidding me?
Here's the 1-1. Swung on, and there's a high fly ball. Deep right center field, way back there. Home run, Naylor. He continues to torture the White Sox, and the Guardians are on the board. It's now 5-1 Chicago. With a runner at first, 2 down, 5-1, White Sox leading, and Naylor drives one deep center. This has a chance, and it goes. Home run, Bo Naylor. Both Naylors go deep this inning. And it's now a 5-3 game. Guardians inching closer.
On National Siblings Day. You know what that is, right? It's from the category of you can't make this stuff up. Stop it. Josh and Bo Naylor both hit home runs, same inning. I mean, the chances that they both come up is one thing because that means you've batted around. But then the chances that they both hit a home run, I'm not big into the odds. I just love it when things happen that you never see coming.
That was sweet.
Oh, see, Pat was paying attention. And there's more for the Naylor family.
Here it comes. A swing and a line drive, base hit, right center, game winner, Bo Naylor. Tyler Freeman comes home from third. There'll be a mobbing between first and second as Bo Naylor gets Cleveland its first walk-off win of the season.
All right. Okay. That's enough out of the Naylors. Just kidding. That's awesome. They had a plan for National Siblings Day. I bet their parents told them to both go out and hit home runs, maybe.
That's how it works.
On the Guardians Radio Network. And yeah, the two of them did a press conference together afterwards. I think it was on Zoom. I saw it on the MLB Network. But the two of them were sitting next to each other, and they're both gushing about how much they love playing together.
Every time I'm in the locker room, I get to be able to hang out with my brother. It's a new special moment. Every time I'm out there on the field, you know, end of inning, I get to throw a ball over to him. It's special. So for me, you know, it's a new part of the journey every day, and I'm just super grateful to be able to share these experiences with him.
I dreamt of it as a kid. I knew it would come true eventually if we just keep working hard. So it's not really a shock to me. I kind of believed in it from day one, and I knew that if we just continue to work hard at our craft.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We'd either play against each other or play with each other. And, you know, God's good, and we're able to play with each other. So it's been great so far. And, you know, yeah.
I'm a big fan of the sibling stories. First, Bo, and then Josh. That's really cool. And together, just the excitement. If you haven't seen the highlights, it's pretty neat. Okay, this is what happens when I don't give all the details that I should be giving. And also, I messed up. So I just want to quick clarify. It was Cal Ripken Sr. who wore number 7. And he was managing, right? And then Billy Ripken, he was another member of that family who wore 7. So the family had it, my fault. They have bestowed that honor upon Jackson Holiday was really the point, but I apologize for not getting the right Cal and leaving Billy out of it. What's wrong with me?
I feel like that happened a lot in history, unfortunately for Billy.
Oh, poor Billy. That's right. Ripken. Oh, no. Are you the Ripken?
Oh, the other Ripken.
The other Ripken.
True.
Sorry, Billy. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Coming up next, Matt Adams from Augusta National Masters tees off in a couple hours. Please tell me the entire tournament isn't going to be about LIV versus PGA, please.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's the music that's associated with an iconic sporting event. Honestly, sometimes I think Augusta National is far bigger than any other golfer there, even if it is Tiger Woods, who's back for another opportunity to extend his cut streak. We're just getting started. Masters tees off in mere hours, and we're excited about it as always. But can the Masters give golf the boost it desperately needs? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're so excited to welcome Matt Adams for the first time in 2024, a longtime golf insider from the Golf Channel and his own Fairways of Life. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Good, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm good. So how about that? Can the Masters give golf the boost it's looking for?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny in this world of golf we're in right now, because there are layers of contrast, a dichotomy that exists, and that when we talk about golf in general and whether the game itself needs a boost, the game of golf has never been stronger than it is right now, and that's at what I call the 99.99% level. That's the people who actually pay for the game of golf. Tee sheets are full. The Masters, generally, for most people that are golf fans, represents the start of the golf season, even if it's a sweater or a jacket that one needs out on the golf course and getting the season underway. At its highest competitive tours, however, it continues to be in conflict with each other. We're told that the PGA Tour and that the public investment fund that owns LIV Golf are continuing in their negotiations. As yet, there hasn't been any breakthroughs that have been announced or rumored behind the scenes. So as a result, there's been a dilution of the top talent, people of the nature of Jon Rahm and Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson and Patrick Reed and Sergio Garcia. I could go on. many of whom are major champions, many of whom are Masters champions, have gone to live, while the PGA Tour has taken on a schedule where they have these signature events, which are designed to be heightened events, a heightened purse, to deliver the big stars to the games, people of the nature of Scottie Scheffler, of course, who won a signature event at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and then the very next week won the Players, and then the week after that at a non-signature event ended up finishing second. Well, those non-signature events, in contrast, as a result, have not had fields that have engaged the curiosity of the viewing public.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, you've seen a dip in the television viewership. You have even at the signature level, I think, compared to what they were expecting. So this contrast continues. Liv still is not getting huge ratings with their television either, just because people are still getting used to this new league, the combination of which says to golf, you know what? I think people are fatigued with the discussion of PGA Tour versus Liv, the way that has impacted how, when, and where they consume their golf. So then we have the Masters. And though rain-soaked and a recent announcement from Augusta National in the overnight hours said that play will not start this morning before 9 a.m., and the window that we're looking at right now, because it is raining quite hard as we speak, it looks like, to my eye, they won't get anything started until at least 11 o'clock a.m., maybe noontime. We'll see what the official announcement is. All they're saying right now is it's delayed and it won't start before 9. But what has happened with this bizarre world that we're living in at its highest competitive levels is that it's made the majors more important. And it's hard to fathom that when you just heard what I laid out to you, but it's the one place where the whole world of golf comes back together again. And when you look at the four majors, many people will tell you because of its timing, because of the long wait from major to major, from the Open to the Masters, this one comes with a whole variety of different reasons, not the least of which I've mentioned the start of spring. This is the major that gets most people fired up. And as a result, we've got the golf world fired up where they're all together. So it's those combination of things that have made this Masters in 2024 stand alone.
It's been almost 11 months, or I guess 10 to 11 months, since that whole bombshell announcement about the merger. And as you point out, there's still been no official structure and no follow-up announcement. How convinced are you it's actually going to move forward?
Well, the difference between what's happened in that 11 months, though, is that when the discussion started with the PGA Tour talking about coming together, merging with the Public Investment Fund in terms of investors in what is a new entity, it's a for-profit entity, and the PGA Tour at large is not a for-profit entity. So there's two different components. So that discussion prompted investors to step up, and these are people that are sports team owners of various ilk.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Fenway Sports Group, which is the leading investing manager, if you please, of this group. They're called the Strategic Sports Group now. They, of course, own Liverpool Football Club in the Premier League. They own the Pittsburgh Penguins. They own the Boston Red Sox. You've got the likes of Arthur Blanks, who owns the Atlanta Falcons. You've got the likes of Steve Cohen and his brother, who own the Mets, et cetera, et cetera. So they came together and said to the PGA Tour, you know what? We'd like a piece of the action. If you're out peddling, which they weren't, they were just announcing they were in discussions with FIP. But if you're out peddling a new entity, we'd like to invest in golf. We think that there's potential for profit in its expansion. And that is important to realize, that this is a for-profit entity. This is not a benevolent act on the behalf of the PGA Tour. At the same time, the Senate launched investigations into funding from Public Investment Fund into the PGA Tour. Their intent, as they phrased, was to protect a cherished public institution. And they also had the Department of Justice looking into potentially a monopolistic intent with the PGA Tour. So all of these things happen after that announcement. So the PGA Tour formed a partnership with the Strategic Sports Group. $1.5 billion, we're told, has been invested into the PGA Tour currently. And from initial, though nothing officially was ever said, but from initial behind-the-scenes conversations about what PIF would put in, $1.5 billion would be potentially as much as 50% higher than we initially were told. So that money came in. That stabilizes the PGA Tour from the standpoint that they don't need to make a quick decision. So negotiations, presumably, from what we can see from the outside looking in, have, I would say, stalled, to use that terminology, between the PGA Tour and PIF. We don't know what has caused that 11 months to elapse and a deal not to have happened yet. All we have is speculation. We're told that the team aspect could be a hang-up between the two leagues. There's various things that we're told. It could be the 54-hole format, which John Rahm said this week that he thinks, well, if it needs to go to 72, make it go to 72. The fact that someone of John Rahm's stature would mention that particular issue specifically probably means that there's fire where that smoke is. So that, you know, not to get too bogged down in the kind of the corporate side, the negotiation side with all this, Amy, because I think that's actually what is fatiguing people.
Yes, yes.
But that is what's happened in some of what we know behind the scenes.
Matt Adams is with us from Augusta National, where they're in a bit of a rain delay. Won't start before 9 a.m. Eastern, is what he said. By the way, Matt, for the first time ever, I was in Augusta in January, and it happened that the gate was open, and my host, I was there to speak at a conference, my host drove by slowly three times, and I got to peer down Magnolia Lane, and I'm telling you, just being close to it, I was like, oh, I understand what all the buzz is about.
Yeah, it's something to see, especially where you drove by and there's a sign out there, Augusta National Golf Club, and the bamboo that they have is on the border of the street that you can't see through anyways because there's a fence beyond that that it's also, it has a green, call it a tarp, I guess.
Yep.
But when you get a chance to glimpse down Magnolia Lane, you realize how skinny it is, you realize how short it is, but you also realize it's kind of a stairway to heaven.
Oh, yes, it is. It's absolutely beautiful. I got chills. So, Matt, as we get set for the tournament, we know Tiger is back. How does he look? That's probably what people care more about than anything else right now.
You know, I think the funny thing is, what I love with Tiger, it's at a point of comedy. And I'm a Tiger fan, obviously, like everybody. I want him to go there and perform well. I think we all love, one of the things we love about sports, at least, is that we all love the prospect of seeing history in our midst, right? Lots of times history happens and we don't even see it. We don't even know it until we look back on it in retrospect. But there's certain times when you know it. Caitlin, right? UConn back-to-back.
Yes.
Tiger winning in 2019. There's things that we see there. We call our kids into the room and our friends, and we go, hey, you got to see this. You can't believe what's going on. So Tiger, it's the same thing every single time. Tiger told us he was going to play once a month. But Tiger couldn't play once a month. Tiger withdrew from the Genesis, told us that it was illness. In this press conference, he kind of intimated, well, I wasn't ready. The game wasn't ready. Body wasn't ready. So he didn't play the once a month. So the question is, how long do we as fans continue to believe? But we're fans, so we're going to continue to believe. And Tiger sits before us, and they said, well, Tiger, you know, this is just this week. I'm paraphrasing. But, yeah, is this the point where we start to see as more or less a ceremonial golfer? I mean, are you happy to be back for these purposes? And Tiger looks at him with, you know, no expression in his face. He goes, I'm just here to win. I'm here to win. And everyone goes, oh, maybe Tiger is ready. Maybe this is it. Fred Couples plays a practice round with him, widely distributed to the media saying he didn't miss a shot. And we go, is this it? He's back again and we're ready with Tiger? And then Tiger goes out and he tells us he's been practicing at home and playing well with friends and all this. And he struggles. And if he makes it through two rounds, it is absolutely remarkable because he has it in five of the last seven starts. So,
right.
And then the press goes up to him, puts a microphone in his face and say, Tiger, you told us you were ready and everything was good. And he goes, guys, what do you want? I'm put together like a robot. I can only do so much. And I'm like, Tiger, you set the expectations, right? So we're seeing that again. But I, again, reiterate, hope that Tiger plays the golf of his life and does something historic.
Mm.
But the likelihood of it is extremely thin.
Gotcha.
I hope at this point that we see Tiger play at least one good round. He's scheduled in the afternoon today. He's scheduled in the morning tomorrow. And I think that was Augusta National doing him a favor. Because this afternoon, the golf course is still going to be soft. We don't know yet what the peak of the winds are going to be because the veracity of the forecast is actually mitigated somewhat from what we saw just 24 hours ago. So the afternoon, if the winds lay down at all, he's going to be in a softer golf course that'll go into the evening and they tend to settle.
Then
he's early on Friday morning, which means he's going to get tucked, you know, subject to whatever they have to do with catching up. he's going to get sucked into those morning hours where it's the wind is not going to be as strong as it will be in the afternoon on Friday. I think they're doing him a huge, huge favor. Now, interestingly enough, Phil Mickelson was not granted that. He's the complete opposite. Maybe that was deliberate. I don't know. But he's got the complete opposite schedule that he's got to face. So for Tiger Woods, I think we have to measure our expectations, notwithstanding what our heart says.
Okay.
Our mind says for Tiger Woods that I think he's going to struggle just to make the cut.
Gotcha. Matt, I just have about 20 seconds. Do you think that Caitlin Clark is more recognizable than Scottie Scheffler right now?
Oh, yeah, 100%. No doubt about it. I can give that to you in 5 seconds.
All right. Just because it feels like maybe this is just me. It feels like if there was a different champion, Scottie's amazing, but maybe golf could market him a little bit better. Or maybe they just need Caitlin Clark to take up golf. I don't know.
Well, it's also personality driven.
Yes.
And Scottie Scheffler that's the reason why he's such an amazing champion, because he's not driven by the fame.
Right.
He's not driven by the voices in his head, doubts or anything else.
Yeah.
He just goes out there and does Scottie Scheffler.
And he's automatic, so we'll see. He is the favorite at the Masters when they get underway. You can find Matt Adams on Twitter at Matt Adams FOL, his Fairways of Life show. He's there at Augusta National, braving the rain, and we're always glad to talk to you, Matt. Thank you.
Pleasure. See ya.
I can answer that in 2 seconds. 100%. Caitlin Clark, more recognizable than the number one golfer in the world, who is Steady Eddie, but maybe not quite as marketable. All right, so I'm not back tonight. I'll be hosting Friday afternoon here on CBS Sports Radio, but look forward to catching up with you soon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.